What's up guys, welcome back. Haven't had my phone for a while, so I've been using a laptop to record everything. This is now how I've been recording videos. So you can see my glorious bed in the background. So as you guys know, I have been applying for a master's. I just wanted to keep you guys updated about this journey that I'm on, just in case in future any of you guys are also looking to go down that same path. So you guys remember, I had already applied to UM earlier in April, but that didn't go through, unfortunately. And halfway through, I kind of switched. I was distracted for a little while. I didn't know if I wanted to do clinical, actually. And just to stray off on a separate tangent real quick, I just wanted to remind you guys to not feel pressured about having to jump into stuff or know exactly what you want to do. Because even for me, I'm already at I'm going to a master's level and I'm still pretty confused. I still get distracted. I'm still unsure about, you know, what exactly I want to do. I don't really have everything planned out step by step. I still will get swayed, you know, my opinion, because I'm still unsure. This is all new to me. And you know, I meet a lot of people who are just coming out of SPM, in fact, and they're already put under such tremendous pressure as to which university, you know, what particular course you want to take, what you want to do for the rest of your life. And they're like only 17. And even for me at 24, I'm still being asked the same questions. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? Do you have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan? And it does put a lot of pressure. I do get pretty stressed out about it, but I try to remind myself that it's good to plan. It's kind of good to have an idea or a direction, but I don't need to have every single step planned out. I don't need to have everything figured out right now. And trust me, it is very difficult for me to apply that to my actual life, which is why hopefully that we can kind of journey with this together, because I still put a lot of pressure on myself. But I hope that you guys will not have to fall into the same trap as me to think that everything needs to be perfect right away. Because right out of SPM, I was actually all over the place. I was looking into business, actuarial science, medicine, also psychology. And you know, I had to balance between wanting something that will make a lot of money versus something that I was interested in and something that was practical for me to actually pursue. So just allow yourself to gain a lot of experience, explore all of the different options and really immerse yourself so that you can get as specific an idea as to what that particular field is. And also, this really, really, really helped me is to ask and have a lot of conversations with people who are already in the field. So coming back, I had always known that I wanted to do counseling, but recently I got really, really distracted, swayed in a sense, because there were a lot of people telling me that, oh, as a counselor, you cannot diagnose. And I took this to heart, really, really seriously. Because initially what I wanted to do was I wanted to counsel people who had relationship problems, marital issues, a lot of family related counseling, as well as youth and adolescent related counseling. Those were the types of counseling that I was truly really, really passionate about. So I wasn't really going into the whole spectrum of mental disease. Although I had an interest in it, it really interested me. And it was very, very nice to know, very, very nice to study and good to have that extra knowledge, but there wasn't something that I really wanted to delve into. But when I was told that I was unable to diagnose, at first, it really bothered me, because I was like, psychology is the only field that deals with mental illness. We are the go-to people for mental illness. And for somebody to come from psychology, I felt really second class, like a second class psychologist, because I'm not able to do the one thing that only psychologists can do. Now, it is in no way true that counselors are second-class psychologists. This is just something that my personal self-esteem, my personal self-image was put into play, and I couldn't really accept the fact that people kept on telling me that, oh, as a counselor, you cannot diagnose and stuff like that. But I couldn't help that it bothered me so much, because I was thinking to myself, if friends or family come to me with questions about mental illness and I'm unable to diagnose, doesn't that render me kind of useless in a sense? But talking to professionals, I managed to correct this thinking, because it's like, just because I'm not in that particular field, it doesn't mean that I will not be trained, doesn't mean that I will not have knowledge about it. So the thing is that I can update my personal knowledge about mental illness. I'll still be able to redirect them to the proper clinical psychologist. I will still be able to definitely give a lot of my input and, you know, update them about their knowledge, advise them about it. It's just that I will not be the one personally counseling them the entire journey, and I was totally okay with that. And when I found that out, it really helped to put me at peace with my decision, because again, that's not the specific field that I wanted to pursue in my career. I just wanted to have it like an extra bullet in my gun. And talking to these professionals, specifically the one that I was interning with, she gave me so much insight. I'm so grateful to her. is that I don't really need to be the one giving the diagnosis. If I'm able to just identify all the traits, all the symptoms, I will still be able to give cautionary advice that, hey, I think this person might be under this or that. And, you know, again, redirect them to the relevant people. Because as she pointed out, that diagnosis is a stressful thing. It takes a lot of responsibility for you to kind of like bring down the hammer and say, okay, this person is this. It's stressful. So now I'm kind of coming back to my roots, going back to the passion that I knew that I had this entire time, is just doing counseling, helping people better their lives. And I'm happy to say that I'm a lot more okay with it. I'm a lot more at peace with my passion, with my decision right now. And one thing that the therapist told me that really, really stuck with me is that education is a lifelong thing. So even later on in my career, if I want to pursue clinical, I want to have the option to be practicing in clinical psychology, I can. I can just go back and take it. So it's not to say I need to have so much pressure on the decision right now. It's like later on, if I want to do that, it's still an option, man. It's still open to me. And that really kind of like released that big burden, because it's like, even if I want to do it later, I still can. And you know, sometimes it's logical, but unless somebody tells it to you to your face, it doesn't really make sense at the moment. So I'm really happy that I managed to have that conversation with her. So that is all for now. I'm really happy to be sharing this journey with all of you guys out there. If any of you are planning to take a master's or are in psychology or anything in general, and you guys just want to reach out, definitely do. I would love to have discussions with you guys. And if anything I say is, you know, kind of helps you guys in your personal journey, that's a win for me already. So I'm going to have to wait till next year, because a lot of them only have like one or two intakes. Most of them only have one intake a year. And well, this year definitely missed that one. So yeah, I'm going to have to do that next year around, but still looking forward to it. I will do my best to keep myself updated and improve myself, you know, with online courses and stuff like that. So until then, thanks for watching.